Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Faith, Not Works, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now in our Bibles to Galatians Chapter 3. Background. Paul the Apostle had been in the area of Galatia. Galatia was a general area like a county or a state. It was not a city. There were many churches established there. After Paul's departure, other teachers came in, declaring that the people could not be saved by a simple faith in Jesus Christ, but must also, to that faith, add the obedience to the law and the rituals of the law of circumcision. And many of the people in those churches that were brought to the gospel of Jesus Christ through Paul's preaching were taken in by these other teachers that followed Paul. And so a division developed among the brethren there in that area. These false teachers that had come in had spoken against Paul's authority as an apostle. And they were actually advocating the necessity of proselytizing into Judaism in order to be saved, keeping of the law, and a righteousness which is predicated upon following or observing these particular rules. So, Paul, at the end of chapter 2, said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness could come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Very powerful words, but very true words. You see, if I could become righteous by keeping a set of rules, then Jesus would not have to die. The fact that Jesus did die declares that no man can be righteous by his own effort or by his own works. God has established a basis for righteousness, but it is not upon works, it's not upon obedience to the law, but it is upon our faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul then opens chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So Paul takes them back to the very beginning of their salvation, when they first believed in Jesus Christ. And through their faith in Jesus Christ, were accounted righteous before God, before they had done any works at all. God accounted them righteous. Now, someone has come along and said, if you want to really be righteous, then you can't be doing that. If you want to really be righteous, then you've got to be doing this. And they started establishing sort of rules for righteousness, which we are so often prone to do. Now, if you will read 10 chapters of the Bible every day and read a morning devotional and spend a half hour in prayer, surely you will be much more righteous than the person who doesn't do those things. You see, we're prone to put on that kind of a addition to a person's faith. By the works of the law, no flesh can be justified in the eyes of God. If we could become righteous by obeying the law, any set of rules, then Christ is dead in vain. And so the Galatians were taken in. They were bewitched by the teaching. It sounded so reasonable. But Paul then said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, it's a rhetorical question because the obvious answer is that they received the Spirit by faith. Now, this epistle to the Galatians is important because there is, it seems, even to the present time, a great tendency to turn towards works as a basis of my relationship with God. And that's always a dangerous basis for your relationship with God, because our works are not always approved, even by ourselves. When I was a child growing up in a Pentecostal church, desiring rightfully that fullness of God's Holy Spirit upon my life, I spent many a night in what they called tarrying meetings, as I was tarrying for what they called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in those churches where I grew up, there were oftentimes what they called testimony meetings. And quite often in the evening, anybody have a testimony tonight for the Lord? And usually there was a certain portion of the meeting set aside for these personal testimonials, and people would get up and testify of God's goodness and God's grace and God's blessings and of problems many times and all. But much of my theology was formed from these testimony meetings, and that's why my theology was so mixed up. Because I heard people testify of their receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was longing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would hear people say things like, when I finally took out my cigarettes and laid them down and said, God, I'll never smoke again, then God baptized me with the Holy Spirit. Well, unfortunately, I didn't smoke, or fortunately, so I couldn't lay my cigarettes down. And there was, though not perhaps declared, there was the subtle innuendo that the baptism of the Holy Spirit somehow came as a reward when you reached a certain degree of consecration or holiness. So that I was actually seeking to receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by keeping the rules, because I had to sign every year a pledge, I won't go to shows, I won't go to dances, I won't smoke, I won't drink, and these, and I would sign the pledge every year. And every year after I'd signed the pledge, I'd immediately try and receive the Holy Spirit because I'd just signed the pledge. Lord, look, you know, I'm going to be good. And I wrestled with this because I could not understand why I tarried so many years and God never filled me with the Spirit. When I finally received that empowering of the Spirit in my life was when, by faith, one day I just said, well, Lord, I'm going to receive it. And I had set aside my concept of my righteousness or my holiness because I didn't smoke and drink. Because I had a real problem, because a friend of mine who did smoke received. And I didn't think God was quite fair. I knew I was far more righteous than he was. And so when I, by faith, and when I received that empowering of the Spirit, I did so by faith. Paul's question, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? The answer is obviously, you receive the Holy Spirit by faith. It's God's gift. You can't deserve it. You can't be worthy of it. And that was the whole context behind the tarrying. It was a cleansing process where you'll become worthy. My body worthy to be the temple of the Holy Spirit? Never. No way. I received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Now the next question. Foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, that's where your start was. You started out in the Spirit. Now are you going to be made perfect in your flesh? Are you going to improve upon God's work in your life? And how many times we're trying to improve on our righteousness? By works, by obedience, by promising to God, making covenants with God, promising. Now, God, I promise this next week, I am going to faithfully pray 1 hour every day. I promise you, Lord, I'm going to. Now, Lord, on the basis of that promise, I want you to bless me. You know, because after all, I'm going to be so righteous by the end of the week, having prayed an hour every day. And having begun in the Spirit, we so often are seeking to be made perfect in the flesh by our fleshly efforts. Paul is rebuking the Galatians for this false concept. Have you suffered, he said, so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, this creates some problems many times. Because there are those that are going around with what they call miracle ministries. And, you know, they advertise, come and see miracles. And miracles every Monday night, you know. As though God were limited to, you know. Well, I came Sunday night. No, this isn't miracle night. You have to come back tomorrow night for the miracles. Now, it has created a problem because many of these miracle evangelists have deep personal problems. Yet they stand up before a great number of people and there seems to be miracles wrought through their ministry. There was a fellow, A.A. Allen. He even opened Miracle Valley Ranch in Arizona. A.A. Allen was an alcoholic. He died of acute alcoholism in San Francisco. And yet he'd get up before the people and there were miracles that people would testify to as the result of his prayers and the result of his services. Now you see, that seems totally inconsistent to us. A person to have that kind of power with God, surely you would think he lived a very dedicated, consecrated, holy, righteous life. That this was God's attestation to the person's holiness or righteousness. Not so. Those that work miracles do not do it on the basis of their righteousness, and this stumbles a lot of people when they get close to some of these persons that are going around in these miracle meetings. To see the inconsistency of their walk stumbles many people, because somehow we think that this is related to holiness and to righteousness and to the obedience, you know, of a fine line of commitment to God. You see, God does not reward us for our works, for our efforts, for our goodness. Whatever God gives to me on the basis of my believing in his grace. And these men have learned to believe in the grace of God, not really looking at their own selves, weaknesses, failures, or whatever. And they have learned how to inspire people to look to God through faith. And God honors the faith of the people who have come to receive from God. Any work that God has done in my life comes to me by believing faith in Jesus Christ and in the grace of God. Now, when you can really assimilate that truth, then you can start to expect God to bless you, though you know that you don't deserve the blessings. Because I'm not coming on what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, man, I'd be frying by now. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But as high as the heaven is above the earth, so high is God's mercy towards them that fear him. So I stand in the grace of God. I walk in the grace of God. Now, does that mean then that I can just go out and, you know, live any kind of an old lascivious life? No. The love of Christ constrains me to walk a life that is pleasing. And when I use that as the criteria for my activities, I find that I live a more strict life than when I try and use right and wrong as the basis for my particular activity. Is this right to do? Is this wrong to do? I so often hear that question. That should not be the consideration. The consideration should always be, is this pleasing to God if I do it? You see, a lot of people are, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, but it doesn't please God. So as I am living to please God, yet I do not look at myself or my imperfections as the basis for my receiving from God. Or if I happen to have a good day and have been especially benevolent and have done, you know, some extra good deeds, I don't look to those as the basis of my receiving from God. I don't say, well, God, did you see that? Did you observe? Lord, didn't I handle that well? Now, don't you think, Lord, I deserve a little special credit for that one? You know, can't you do this for me? Because look what I just did for you. No, God does not reward me for good efforts or even good performance. God blesses me because he loves me. And he loves for me to just trust in him. And he loves it when I seek to please him. But even that is not the basis for what God gives to me. The basis is God's love and grace for me. He bestows upon me his blessings, his love, as I simply believe in him to do it and trust him to do it. Now, if you are coming to God on the basis of your righteousness, then you're going to be cut short of what God wants to do in your life. You're going to be robbing yourself of many rich blessings that God wants to bestow. But if you come always on the basis of God's love and grace for you, then you'll never be cut short. As I am believing and trusting God to bless my life, even though I know I do not deserve it. As Jacob said, Lord, I am not worthy the least of thy mercies. It isn't my worthiness that counts. Jacob was a scoundrel. And yet God blessed him abundantly, and he knew it. He was a deceiver. He was a conniver. He was a manipulator. And when he looked at God's blessing, he said, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy the least of your mercies. Yet you have blessed me.
Every year, Pastor Chuck Smith delivered a powerful prophecy update, helping Christians everywhere stay informed, stay grounded, and stay ready to give an answer about what the Bible says concerning the future. And today, we want to equip you with those same life-changing insights. Dive deep into biblical prophecy with Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Revelation, a clear verse-by-verse guide through one of the most important books for understanding the end times. Or explore our collection of powerful teaching DVDs covering Israel, the rapture, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the last days. These resources will strengthen your faith, sharpen your understanding, and help you explain the hope you have in Christ to anyone who asks. Now's the time to get informed, stay watchful, and be ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ. For more information on biblical prophecy resources, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit twft.com. The Word for Today, understanding prophecy so you can live with hope. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and give you a beautiful week. May his hand be upon your life. And may the flame of love really begin to burn in your heart towards God. That this will be a week in which you're really in tune, in harmony with him. And that love and commitment is restored. And it's just a glorious week of thinking of him, worshiping him, serving him, loving him. May God be pleased with you by your commitment and devotion to him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Galatians Galatians 3. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.